Like this morning to turn to the 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. Of course, I've preached many messages from this Psalm, and everyone here has heard many messages from this Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, of the 150 Psalms, none, of course, has been more read than the 23rd Psalm. None has been more quoted from than this Psalm. None has been more written about than the 23rd Psalm. As you read through the 23rd Psalm, you see that it is a very personal psalm. There are no references to we. There are no references to us. There's no references to they. But only my, me, and I. It's a song of personal trust. Trust in the Lord. It's a song about a personal relationship with the Lord. It's a song about personal confidence in the Lord. A song of personal experience with the Lord. As you read through, you see that it's a song of faith. It is a song of hope and joy. And no doubt, when David penned this psalm, he did so from a heart full of love, from a heart full of praise and reverence and gratitude and wonder, and I believe even amazement of the person of the Lord. It's not our intention today to look at the entire psalm. We want to just take the thought of the message from verses 4 and verse 5. Because in verse 4, a major shift takes place in David's language. In the first three verses, David speaks of the Lord in the third person. In other words, in verses 1 through 3, and you can read them, David is talking about the Lord. And read those verses. And is he not talking about the Lord? Nothing wrong with that. But in verse 4, there's a change. He now speaks of the Lord in the second person. He refers to thou and thy, our word for you. He's now talking to the Lord. So he has gone from talking about the Lord to talking to the Lord. That's a major shift in this psalm. It is in verse 4 that he shifts from talking about the Lord, has his personal and perpetual shepherd, to talking with the shepherd. There's a big difference between talking about the Lord as our personal shepherd and talking with the shepherd. So in the first 3 verses, he talked about the shepherd who watched over him, who cared for him, who protected him and provided for him and preserved him. But now in verse 4, he's talking to that one. He's talking to the shepherd who cares for him. It is in verse 4 that he changes from commenting about the Lord to communion with God. In verse 4, there's a shift from talking about the ultimate. In those first 3 verses, he's talking about the ultimate. He's talking about the Lord. But in verse 4, he goes from talking about the ultimate to experiencing intimacy with the Lord. He's now in communion with the Lord. It is in verse 4 that David is face to face with God. And we want to speak this morning on when the ultimate becomes the intimate. And that's what we see taking place beginning with verse 4. The sad truth is that though this psalm is widely known and widely recognized, and though many can recite it from childhood, very, very few know anything about this psalm. Very, very few know and live in the real meaning of Psalm 23. You can find the 23rd Psalm engraved and imprinted on many things. But there are few who live in the conscious reality of what is written here. In fact, if you take a walk through a cemetery, I believe that you will see more headstones that say, "The Lord is my shepherd," than any other. You'll see the 23rd Psalm more than you'll see anything else. And to many, the 23rd Psalm is basically poetry that makes them feel good. But it's not their life. There's a big difference between poetry that makes us feel good and it being our life. Sadly, many children of God rarely get to verses 4 and 5 in their life. What I mean by that is they talk about God, but it's rare for them to get to that point in their life where they talk to God. They talk about the shepherd. And you can find some comfort in that. You can find a lot of comfort in that. But you'll find a lot more talking to the shepherd. There are very few that advance on a continuous basis from commenting about God to communion with God. And consequently, they do not have the experience of what we read at the end of verse 5, "My cup runneth over." Now, I think that you can talk about God and your cup can run over talking about God. But not like it is when you talk with Him. my cup runneth over. And it's because they do not advance from talking about God to talking with God that they do not have the joy and assurance of verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let's look, where was it that the psalmist went from commenting about God to communion with God? Why does this shift take place in verse 4? Why didn't he just go on in verse 4 and say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. For he is with me, his rod and thy staff comfort me. Why didn't he say that? You see, he advanced. He didn't say, he's with me. He didn't say, his rod and staff, they comfort me. He said, thou art with me. He's talking to the shepherd. You are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he continues that thought in verse 5. So the change from talking about God, he, to talking to God, you, takes place in verse 4. Now, what is significant about verse 4? The valley. Don't you see he went from talking about God to talking to God in the valley? In the valley. And that's where it most often happens. That's where it most often happens, that we go from talking about God to talking to God. You see, the valley of the shadow of death presents a crisis point in the life of David. And the truth is, we are more prone to talk about God when things are going well, and we are more prone to talk with God when we're in the valley. It's not always the case, but we are more prone to talk with God in the valley and talk about God perhaps when we're on the mountaintop. The valley, of course, represents the trials of life. Now, you can preach a lot of messages from the valley of the shadow of death. But the valley of the shadow of death conjures thoughts of a dangerous situation. It conjures thoughts where a sheep's life is in jeopardy. And unless the shepherd is alert and attentive, that sheep's going to die. That sheep is going to be destroyed. You see, the valleys are a place of problems. The valleys are a place of dilemmas. The valleys are a place of complications and perplexities and difficulties and trials. Valleys are pictures and places of calamity, places of trouble, places of suffering. The valleys are places of obstacles and hurdles and challenges. The valleys throughout the Bible, there's like 35 valleys mentioned by name in the Word of God. But the valleys are, throughout the Bible, are places of sorrow and grief, places of heartache and burdens. And the valleys are inevitable. You can't get through this life without some valleys. You can't get through this life without some deep ravines. They're inevitable. You're going to have some valley times. The truth is, you will have more valley times than mountaintop experience times. There are going to be valleys. The valleys are impossible, impartial. No one is immune from the valleys. They're also somewhat unpredictable. It's difficult to schedule valleys into your life. It's difficult to schedule and fit them into your life when it's most convenient. Valleys just happen at inconvenient times. If you and I could schedule the valleys, we would schedule them when they were most convenient for us. But we don't schedule our valleys. They just come upon us. The valleys are manifold. That is, there's a variety of valleys. There are physical valleys. There are emotional valleys. There are spiritual valleys. There are financial valleys. There are relational valleys. And on you could go. Some of these valleys, of course, are deeper than others. Some are more treacherous than others. Some are longer than others. The valleys are always temporary. For the child of God, the valleys are temporary. Again, it says, walking through. That is, in one end, out the other. Valleys are temporary. If we go through the valleys, does not that mean that valleys are not dead ends? Don't treat a valley like it's a dead end. Because the Bible says we walk through the valley. It's not a dead end. Nor is it a disaster. We walk through the valleys. It is through the valleys that the shepherd leads his sheep to the mountaintops. It is through the valleys that you go from one mountaintop to another mountaintop. But it was in the valley that David went from talking about God to talking with God. Talking about the Lord being his shepherd. To talking with his shepherd. Well, that leads us to the question. How did David get in this valley? How did David get in this valley? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How did he get there? Well, we see that from verse 3. He was led there by the shepherd. Verse 3 ends with, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then the very next thing we read is the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is part of the paths of righteousness. Many times people think of the paths of righteousness as just the mountaintop. But I want you to know that the paths of righteousness go through the valleys. They go through the valleys. So it was God who brought him to this valley. Now why would God lead us through the valley? Well, the valleys, no doubt, are places of purpose. shepherd has a purpose leading through the valley. Every valley you've ever passed through, every valley that you will ever pass through has a purpose. And it has a God purpose. And valleys, it's in the valleys that faith is increased. Now I believe that David's faith is increased from verses 1 through 3 to verses 4 and 5. You go from talking about God to talking to God. There is an increase in faith. Resolve is strengthened in the valleys. Courage is developed in the valleys. Conviction. Conviction is formed in the valleys. Maturity. Spiritual maturity is obtained in the valleys. That's where we grow, is in the valleys. Spiritual desire is strengthened in the valleys. I believe our usefulness is found in the valleys. Knowledge develops in the valleys. Because there is more knowledge in talking with God than talking about God. Anyone who goes to church can talk somewhat intelligently about God. Everybody here should be able to talk somewhat intelligently about God. You've heard enough, you should be able to talk about God. But what a difference it is when you go from talking about God to talking to Him. And that's the change that takes place here in verse 4. So let's look at David in this valley. First of all, he refuses to be controlled by the valley. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be brought under the control of the valley." Now he says, "I will fear no evil." That word "will" implies a choice that has been made. It is his reaction. It is his reaction to the valley. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." His reaction to the valley is one of calmness. His reaction to the valley is not one of terror. It's not one of panic. It's not one of anxiety. David has determined in his own heart and in his own mind, "I will not be controlled by the valley." Most people, saved or lost, most people are controlled by their circumstances. They are controlled by them. But when David said, "I will fear no evil," he is saying, "I have determined I will not be controlled. I am not going to have my life controlled by this valley." How sad for God's people to have their lives controlled by circumstances. How sad. Don't you see that also is a bondage? We've been delivered from bondage. So he's in the valley of the shadow of death. But he says, "I'll fear no evil." So in my mind, I picture David in this valley, but he's calm. He's calm. He's at peace. He is composed. He's not under the control of this particular valley. It's referred to as the valley of the shadow of death. You know, people read this and they'll say, well, shadows are harmless. Well, yes, but shadows can be scary. Shadows can be very scary. And no doubt they were here because he said, I will fear no evil. He was not going to be controlled by the shadows. And shadows make reality appear bigger than it is. And that causes fear. And many are under the control of those things. But David said, I'll not fear. So what we have here in verse 4 is in the first part of verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is a picture of tranquility. It is a picture of peace. He's traveling through the valley. But he's traveling through the valley as God's sheep. And as he does so, he's determined. As he does so, he's confident. He is confident that all is well. And then he gives us the reasons. He says, I will fear no evil. And from that point on, verses 4 and 5, David begins to give reasons why he would not fear evil. Why he would not be brought under the control of this valley. And as he gives these reasons, he is talking with God. Notice in verse 4, after he says, I will fear no evil, for. Or because. I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death, but I will not be controlled by this valley because. And he begins to talk to the shepherd. For thou, that is my shepherd, art, that's present tense, with me. So David was in the valley. But he was accompanied by the Lord his shepherd. So much so that he talked with him. Now that's one thing. You go through the valley and you say, well, I know the Lord is with me. That's one thing. It's quite another to say, thou, Lord, you. You are with me. As David is going through this valley of the shadow of death, no doubt he could see. No doubt he could feel the shadows. We've all felt shadows. You can feel it. And David felt these things. But more importantly, David could see and feel the presence of the shepherd. So much so that he begins to talk with the shepherd. He begins to experience the shepherd. What he experiences in this valley is, the Lord is my shepherd. He talked about it before, now he's experiencing it. We can talk about many truths about God. But when we come to experience those truths, that's something completely different. In this valley, the ultimate has become the intimate for David. And therefore he said, I will fear no evil. And when you step into your valley, it may be so dark that you cannot see the path ahead. And you know in your mind and you know in your heart that there are predators. And there may be enemies lying in wait for me. And if you have stepped into your valley and it's dark and you can't see anything and you just know there's predators, there's enemies there, they're waiting for me. If that be your case today, the shepherd has something he wants you to hear. I am with you. I am with you. We need to experience that. The presence of the shepherd. Notice also there was a recognition of the strength and authority of the shepherd. He said, "Thou art with me." That's a recognition of his presence. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod, of course, was a club about 2 feet long. Had a rounded head about the size of a fist that usually was whittled from the knot of a tree. And within that were sharp bits of metal pounded into it. And the shepherd would use the rod to protect the sheep. He would use the rod to drive off the predators. But not only that, he would use the rod to remind the sheep of its parameters, to remind the sheep of its boundaries. If a sheep began to wander and got over to some poisonous plants or where the snakes were, here would come that club whistling through the air to scare the sheep to scurry back into the flock. David is experiencing this here. He says, "Thy rod, it comforts me." It comforts me. And what a comfort. So many times God's people are trying to break through the boundaries that God has set. I'm thankful that God has set the boundaries and that God reminds me of the boundaries. I'm thankful that if I begin to wander, God throws that club and reminds me that's as far as you go. He's reminding me there's some boundaries here. That's safety. As long as the sheep stays within the parameters of those boundaries, that sheep is safe. What David was experiencing here was the protection of the shepherd. He's not just merely talking about the strength and the protection of the shepherd. He's experiencing the strength and the protection of the shepherd. He goes on, he says, "Thy staff." That, of course, was used to guide the sheep. Long, slender stick with a crook in the end. Used to guide the sheep through the terrain. Also used to draw the sheep to himself. Might be used to rescue the sheep that had fallen. He says, "These things are a comfort to me." You see, it's in the valley of the shadow of death that David saw and experienced the long-suffering and the kindness of the shepherd. And that crook reminds us, and that staff reminds us of the long-suffering of God. And it was in the valley that David experienced these things. He's not merely talking about them. He's experiencing them. Oh, we can say, "The Lord will take care of me," and that's true. But isn't it much better to experience it? To personally experience. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." In other words, they reassure me. While I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd is there, and he reassures me. He assures me that all is well. It's okay. It's okay. You know, people can tell me everything's going to be okay. Well, how do you know that? You don't know that. You have a loved one that's at the point of death, and they'll say, "Don't worry, he's going to get better."
How do you know that? You don't know that. Only the Lord can tell me that.
There was a recognition of the provision of the shepherd. Verse 5, he says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. These are reasons why he wouldn't fear. David is not merely talking about God's plentiful provision. He is actually experiencing it. He's saying, while I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd with great thought, with great care, with love, with wisdom, he prepares a table just for me. Now, he may prepare a table for you over here. He may prepare one for me over here. But I know this. He prepares a table for me. He knows what I need in that valley. And he prepares a table just for me. And everything on that table is for my benefit. Everything on that table is going to help me get through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, here in verse 4 and 5, the ultimate has become reality. We see, lastly, there was a recognition of relief. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. That was done to the sheep to relieve them from the irritation of parasites. Life has a lot of irritants. Life has a lot of annoyances. And there are a lot of irritants in the valley. And there are a lot of annoyances in the valley. But relief is found in the shepherd. Thou anointest my head with oil. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced the shepherd anointing your head with oil? Giving you relief from the irritants. Giving you some relief from the annoyances. Again, David was not just merely talking about relief from the shepherd. He's experiencing it. Hear him say, I'll fear no evil. The reason is because he's experiencing the shepherd in the valley. Now, God's people, you and I that are saved, we don't have to come under the control of the shadowed valleys. And the shadowed valleys do not, as we've already said, do not have to be disasters. And they're not dead ends. They're not dead ends. We walk through. Doesn't say we run. Run in circles in a panic. That's not what it says. It says we walk through the valley. In walking through the valley of the shadow of death, David found satisfaction. David found joy. He said, my cup runneth over. You see, it was in the valley that David went from talking about the Lord. And we're not criticizing talking about the Lord. There's great comfort in talking about the Lord. And we ought to talk about the Lord. But there's an advancement here. He went from talking about the Lord to talking with the Lord. What a difference it makes when the ultimate becomes the intimate. We also learn here that it's not necessary for you and I to be taken captive by the valley. When we experience the presence of the Lord, as David did here, it was in the valley that David experienced the power and the protection of the Lord. It was in the valley that David experienced the authority of the Lord. It was in the valley that he experienced the guidance of the Lord. It's in the valley that you experience the drawing power of God and the provision of God and the relief of the Lord. So I ask you today, you that are saved, have you advanced beyond? Have you advanced beyond talking about the shepherd to talking with the shepherd? Have you experienced Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5? You can read those first three verses and you can say, I know that's true. I believe that. What I'm asking you today is, have you experienced personally verse 4 and 5? You see, verse 4 and 5 is the experience of verses 1 through 3. It is the personal experience. And if that's so, once you have experienced verses 4 and 5, you see, that's what gives confidence and assurance. Surely. He says, surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He says, I know this for certain. I don't know what's going to happen all the days of my life. But he says, I know this. Having experienced the shepherd in the valley, I know that whatever is going to happen, goodness and mercy is there. The goodness and mercy of God is there every step of the way. The dearest person on earth to us may become ill and may die, but goodness and mercy will be there. It'll be there. Oh, we need to spend every day experiencing the shepherd. Have you experienced him today? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song. Let's all stand, Brother Larry. Lead us in song.